Hey guys, it's Drew. Tom and Chee Granville is back with some impressive meal deals. Here's what you can look forward to if you stop by and get cheesy. If you're always searching for the kids menu, look no further than Tom and Chee, where kids under 12 eat free from 4 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, or enjoy half off grilled cheese donuts every Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. And if you download the free Tom and Chee app, pop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Tom and Chee is also proud to support Chia. I think that's how I say it. A locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chee on 44th Street in Granville near Cabela's.
How can they pass judgment if they don't know what it's all about?
I hold it the very law we are here to enforce excludes such testimony.
Mark is an insult to this entire community.
And this community is an insult to the world.
This is Mr. Sledge's After Party, the Whenever He Wants podcast supplement, meant for entertainment purposes only, and does not reflect the opinions of the rest of the Court of Nerds. This is a not safe for work podcast, so don't play it in open air. And now, Mr. Sledge.
Solicitous Saturnalia to all you raucous revelers. It's time for another descent into the ghastly depths of my psyche. On this episode, I'll be talking about the acquisition of 21st Century Fox by the Disney Company and what antitrust means in the 21st century America. So let's let the obsequious analysis begin, shall we? I was up early when the news broke last week that Disney would be paying over $52 billion to Rupert Murdoch and the vast majority of 21st Century Fox. The ramifications of this are large and lasting. Should the U.S. Department of Justice allow this merger, I mean acquisition, to take place? Comic nerds, for the most part, love the return of the Fantastic Four and X-Men licenses under the Marvel umbrella in hopes that their incorporation into the MCU. Regional sports fans are unsure if all their channels will be rebranded under the ESPN banner and what that might mean for their service and costs. Hulu subscribers just got the very real possibility that their service will include all of Disney's intellectual property, while Netflix subscribers are questioning if it's time to switch services. And right-wing media consumers are ecstatic that their echo chamber will remain untouched by the progressive by comparison House of Mouse. All these things are super interesting topics in and among themselves, but I'm not going to talk about any of them directly. You see, I'm concerned primarily about what will mean for media company competition and the intersection of vertical and horizontal monopolies. This has obviously been a deal in the works for a while, and the language surrounding it is very specific. Language matters. After all, the AT&T and Time Warner merger was nixed primarily because it was seen as just that, a merger. But if the two companies are not merging, just one buying off an incredible amount of assets from the other while the other retains the most profitable and focused portion of their business, Fox News, then they hope to avoid the antitrust suit. Although trust has a specific legal meaning, where one person holds property on the benefit of another, in the 19th century the word was commonly used to denote big business, because that legal instrument was frequently used in effect in combination of companies. These are the entities which we know as corporations today. There have been many laws passed that are meant to keep corporations and monopolies in check. The Interstate Commerce Act of 1887 began to shift towards the federal rather than state regulation of big business. It was followed by the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, the Clayton Antitrust Act of 1914, and the Federal Trade Commission Act of 1914, and the Robertson-Patman Act of 1936, and the Keller-Koffenauer Act of 1950. But then something happened. We kinda stopped caring. We made attempts to care. Turns out we don't care a whole lot about vertical monopolies, but we have some greater concern about horizontal monopolies. You see, under the Sherman Act of 1890, every person who shall monopolize or attempt to monopolize any part of the trade or commerce among the several states commits an offense. The courts today have interpreted this to mean that the monopoly is not unlawful per se, but only if acquired through prohibited conduct. Historically, there where the ability of the judicial remedies to combat market power have ended, the legislature of states or the federal government have still intervened by taking public ownership of the enterprise or subjecting the industry to a sector-specific regulation, frequently done, for example, in the cases of water, education, energy, and healthcare. The law on public services and administration goes specifically beyond the realm of antitrust law's treatment of monopolies, where enterprises are not under public ownership and where regulation does not foreclose the application of antitrust law, two requirements must be shown for the offense of monopolization. First, the alleged monopolist must possess sufficient power in the accurately defined market for its products or services. Second, the monopolist must have used its power in a prohibited way. The categories of prohibited conduct are not closed, and they are contested in theory. Historically, they have been held to include exclusive dealing, price discrimination, refusing to supply an essential facility, product tying, or predatory pricing. Sure, Reagan's Department of Justice broke apart Ma Bell, and Clinton's Justice Department forced Microsoft to split in two, which it then successfully appealed while Bush 2 was in office and they just paid out a lot of money. But we are reaching a new intersection of what it means to be a monopoly and what constitutes a public sector. Walt Disney was an animator. He created the media and then had to court the broadcasters and film studios. Soon, he then realized that they could make more money by creating their own studio. Then studios. Then they expanded the brand through theme parks, widening what was already an established spot in the American consciousness. Then they buy up one of the big three TV broadcasters, ABC, and all the assets of the infrastructure that it entails. Disney has acquired several media companies over the years, like Marvel, and therefore own the products that they make and then can transmit or sell those products through other mediums which they also own. Now, they have a greater opportunity to grow out from what was largely a vertical monopoly to a horizontal one as well. Now, I know what you're going to say. The major TV networks aren't what they once were, and all the media is so fragmented now that it still should prove a competitive marketplace. But those fragments are increasingly becoming acquired by other major corporations. Hell, even the new guy on the block, Twitch, was bought by Amazon back in 2014. Did you know that? I didn't know that until recently. Now, you might not even care who owns it, if the end result is that there are still a couple of large media corporations battling out and driving prices down. But what happens when the companies get girthy, when they both grow tall vertically and have widened enough to achieve dominance? What happens is Comcast, which owns NBC, makes a play for CBS. Does Disney need their own ISP to stay competitive? Surely they do, and maybe they can acquire Time Warner when AT&T couldn't, now because the U.S. Justice Department knows that they need to allow this to happen for the competition reasons because Alibaba out of China is kicking the crap out of Amazon, and the U.S. media companies are in a global war for people's eyeballs. Where does it stop? Well, it doesn't. That's kind of the nature of capitalism, right? You expect the invisible hand to adjust for this, and for us. And that adjustment could lead to domination by one entity. But we really aren't living in a true capitalist system, and we try to regulate out the bad and hope that innovation creates new areas in which we compete and progress. But that's only if we choose to do so. During the Gilded Age, we called the Carnegies and Rockefellers robber barons. By the time Ford came on the scene and the progressive age had all but ended, we saw the rise of welfare capitalism, which led to funny things like Fordlandia being built in the Amazon. What do we call this age that we're entering into now? Mickey Mouseocracy? Let me put my ears on. I don't want Pluto to think I'm unpatriotic. That's it for Mr. Sledge's After Party this week. Stay tuned to this RSS feed for Reverse Centaurs coming in 2018. I'm Kevin from the Court of Nerds saying, just remember, Kenneth has the butter. Bye!